right, give it up for everything happening right here at Cross Point. Give God glory. Give God all the praise. Special shout out to all those that were a part of our ministry time at the Ronald McDonald House. Encourage you just to kind of look further into that, what that is really was all about. A great, powerful story that Craig and Jennifer Chadwick shared with us about the birth of their child, Julia, and just the miracle child. And it's all, you know, sometimes God takes you through something so that you can experience that place and you can know how to better minister to other people in that same place. And so just good job to everybody for making a difference. And we've been stating and really emphasizing around here that our church is not just a church that just comes to meet in the four walls, have a good time, go home, roast beef. Okay? We believe that we're here for a purpose and for a reason to make a difference. And so we're just getting started, just getting the vehicle out of the garage. All right? So great things are coming. More opportunities are happening as we continue to move forward to make a difference. And in fact, that's when life really becomes the most fulfilling, is when that you are discovering not just that you were born, but why you were born, why you're here, and you're fulfilling that. I mean, that's just the highest pinnacle of enjoying life, when you're making a difference in the life of others. So good job to everybody. Also want to say, again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the house. And let me just kind of define what a mother is. You may not be a mother biologically, but if you're a woman, you're a mother, okay? I'm just saying, because there are all kind of different definitions. There are stepmoms, there are godmoms, godmothers, you know, and then there's also those that have, let me tell you, within a woman, there is the potential. There is the God-given ability to reproduce life. And sometimes that's not always biological. But I believe that God uses women in a way that's just supernatural to be a powerful influence in the life of other people, being a mentor, being someone that you have an influence and pour into the lives of other people. So I want to be all inclusive and let you understand, we reverence all you women that are just amazing creatures of God. My mom, I mean, I couldn't understand how she could do so many things. Listen to the radio, the TV, the doorbell ringing, the phone ringing, and us talking to her. And we'd say, "Mom, are you listening?" I can do more than one thing at once. Super mom, you know, I mean, they could just do it all. And you are amazing, and we just honor you today. And I was thinking about it. My wife was sharing before church, and we have a prayer before service. We also have a huddle with our dream team. And my wife was sharing how that, you know, when you're a little child, your mom just takes you and kind of cuddles you in her arms, and you just feel all safe and warm. And she was comparing that to how it is to be in the presence of God. And I got to thinking about that, and a song popped in my head. And I've been debating all throughout the service, should I do that or not? And I know some of you are thinking, no. Okay, I got to nod this way. My mom would hold me in her arms. This will tell you how old I am. And she would sing this old war song. And she would sing, "I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms like you've never been held before. I'll think of you each day and I'll dream the night away. So, darling, please wait for me." Everybody like that? It was like when the, you know, her husband was across overseas and she was waiting on him, you know, like, and I got two more, y'all. I got one more. Well, it's got two verses, but one more. Y'all want to hear it? No, you don't. You don't. This will also tell you how old I am. We're just having fun. We're going to get in the message. Y'all just relax, okay? "If I had a nickel, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd spend it all on candy and give it all to you, because that's how much I love you, baby. That's how much I love you." You want a second verse? "If you were a horsefly and I an old gray mare, I'd stand and let you bite me and never move a hair, because that's how much I love you, baby. That's how much I love you." Okay, that's it. All right. So anyway, come on, give it up for moms. But I can still remember her holding me and just, you know, singing that song and just, you know, up close to her. And, you know, those are special times. I also know this. My parents were a very biblical example to me. My dad was the Old Testament and my mom was the New Testament. My dad was the law and my mom was grace. Thank God for grace. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about today, about grace. In fact, we're in a study of the book of Galatians. And a couple times a year, we like to just, you know, we do different series. Sometimes they're, most times they're topical. But we like to take a couple times a year just to take a book out of the Bible. Helps you get to know your Bible more. And just pull out some truths where we just go more verse by verse, just a deep study of Scripture. And so we're into that. We're in part three of Galatians. And I encourage you, you can take your Bibles out. We'll also have some Scripture up here on the screen for you. Also, inside your worship guide, you'll find some message notes, so some fill-in-the-blanks there and that you can follow along with us through this study. But the book of Galatians is actually a letter. The Apostle Paul, the word apostle means that basically it means a church planter. Paul was a church planter, and he would go throughout the area planting different churches, and he went into what we would now call modern-day Turkey, into this city called Galatia. Planted a church there. And then when he would leave in church and he would leave leaders in place, then he would follow back up with them and see how they were doing. And he got word that some things were happening in this church plant that he had to really correct. So we call this an epistle or a letter. There was a corrective letter to the church of Galatia, because after he had planted this church, which was based on the grace of Jesus and what he did on the cross, there were some other Jews that were traditional that came in and said, oh, that's good, you're in the club now, that's fine and well, but there's some things that we need to add to that, one of those being circumcision. And so Paul actually said, no, wait a minute, you're adding to what Jesus did, you're adding works to that, and it's not based on works, it's actually based on the grace of what Jesus did for us. And so he actually became a little bit agitated and with them over this, was shocked that they had really moved away from the gospel that he brought to them, and he presented to them that there was another gospel. He said, why are you following yet another gospel? And the fact is the matter that oftentimes there are two gospels out there, meaning there's two versions of Christianity. And I would say even today, there's two versions of Christianity that are with us today. And oftentimes Christianity has got a bad name and really gotten tagged in a bad way because we've represented it wrong, and that is there's a Christianity out there that's based on the grace and the love of Jesus, but also then there's another one that's based on works. And one gives you very much life, while and yet the other one actually leads you to dead religion. It's that religion where, you know I got to do these things, I really don't want to do these things, but I'm going to try, and yet we try and try, and we fail, and we can't get there on our own. It's very hard. And I would say the way that we would know whether we're in that kind of religion is oftentimes we just don't like it. We're not enjoying that place where we are. And the fact of the matter is God came that we might have life and have it to the fullest. God wants us to enjoy life. And so we're in this relationship, love relationship with the Lord. Actually, it brings us to this place of loving life, loving God, loving what he's called us to do and who he's called us to be. And we presented that in week one through really based off of going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where there was a tree of life. And that's what God offers us. And then there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where the enemy came and said, no, you need to try it this way. You can become God-like through following this tree of knowledge and good and evil. So it's through your work and your what you know to do and your manipulation and how you and your intelligence. And through this way, you can become a better person. And that leads to nothing but death. And so we talked about that. I encourage you, that's a foundational message for the series. I encourage you to go online to crosspointworshipcenter.com and you can look at our archives and pull that back up and revisit that, because that's really foundational. Not just for this series, but for us as a church. And then last week we talked about that oftentimes, even though we're in that tree of life, there's this vine that grows sometimes between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we kind of swing back and forth. In one minute we're in a loving relationship with God, we're following him. The next minute it's just dry and dead, and we're trying to do it all ourselves. And so in this week, this installment of this series, Paul comes along and he interrupts that whole conversation and he says, well, let me just first of all make sure you understand what the gospel is. And that's where we'll pick it up in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. And he puts it this way. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? And I don't know if that's really that great of a translation there. That actually in the Greek, that word is biskiano, which means evil eye, an evil eye. Have you ever had somebody look at you with an evil eye? You know, moms can do that. You know, you're misbehaving. They don't need to say a word. They just give you the look. I got a look yesterday. It was actually from my wife. You know, it was when I walked into Dunkin' Donuts. Half of it is Baskin Robbins. And I said, Kim, they got ice cream. And she gave me the look because she's been disciplined lately, and I have not. Moms can give you that look, that evil eye. And oftentimes we can do that in church. We look at someone and say, well, look at how that person walking into church is dressed. And we look at them and, I can tell they ain't living right. I can tell they're not. And we turn up our nose. And that's what was going on here. He said, look, who has cast an evil eye or evil spirit or evil spell on you? And look at this. For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What is the meaning of Jesus Christ's death? It was made clear. It made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. And he says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses, by doing works yourself? No, of course not, he says. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? And so really that evil eye is that they honestly, it's people thinking that their human effort is better than yours. And so here's the gospel. We always talk around the gospel, but here's the simple gospel. The gospel is that we ended up in a very bad place because we committed sin. And by the way, it only takes one sin. You know, a murderer is a murderer not because they had to commit a lot of sins to become a murderer, that you can commit one sin and you're a murderer, right? And so Romans chapter 3, verse 23 talks about this. It says, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. So because of sin, put it to you this way, we can't be in God's presence. Because of sin, listen, sin and God can't even be in the same room. But yet, here's the fact of the matter, and that is that God wants you to be with Him. He created us for His pleasure. He wants to have fellowship with us. But the problem is sin. And sin is that thing that actually separates us. In fact, it's the goal of a lot of religions, is to do something and deal with this thing that separates us from God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. Wages of sin is death, but how can we pay for that ourselves? How can we do that through human efforts? Okay? How can that be accomplished? And so if the wages of sin is death, then how do we pay for it? By dying. Because if we die, then we're dead. You get that? So that how are we gonna do that? So it creates for us very much of a dilemma. You can't get to God because you're dead. So seeing this dilemma, Jesus, look, steps into the courtroom of your life where you have been sentenced with capital punishment, and Jesus steps in and says, I'll pay the bill. I mean, that's good. Jesus is the only one that stepped in and said, I'll take care of it. That's the best news, is that your bill has been paid for. That's a good, let me tell you that again, that was a good place for a good amen, and half of you missed that. Your sin, your bill, your debt has been paid for in full by Jesus. Jesus stepped in. That is the good news. That's the gospel. I mean, just think about it. You know, have you ever been in a restaurant and you're eating and you signal the waiter to come, and they come and you're ready to pay the bill, and they say, well, someone has already paid your bill. Have you ever had that happen to you? And at that moment, you're thinking, wow, that's awesome. And you don't know who did it, but you're thinking, I should have brought the kids with me, right? I mean, if I was going to get a free meal. And it just doesn't seem right because you ate the meal. They didn't eat it. You ate it. You're the one that should be paying for it. It's kind of the same thing with Jesus. He went to the cross, but he never sinned. He didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't seem right. It was you and I. We sung about it this morning. It was our cross. We should have been on the cross. But Jesus stepped in and said, I'll take your place. I will pay your debt for you. Come on, everybody. That's good news. That's good news. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. Look at this. Because it's really ridiculous for us to pay for our sins by our own efforts. And look at this. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So the curse is not that God says, I'm cursed. It's that we can't fulfill it. We can't do everything that the law tells us to do. It's actually impossible. James chapter 2 says this, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Breaking all of it. So I want to give you some things that the law does. Look at this. The law couldn't be obeyed. The law couldn't be obeyed. That's your first blank there if you're taking notes. And so, in other words, if I pray a lot, if I go to church a lot, if I do a lot of things, you know, it's still not enough. You can't change yourself by doing all these things. And I think we live in a society in America where we think we got this mentality of 51%. If I could just be 51% good, you know, better, you know, more good than evil in my life, then I'll be okay. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. In fact, just 1%, just one sin will keep you out of his presence. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 says, what then was the purpose of the law? If it's impossible, you got to get this, if it's impossible for us to fulfill the law, then why the law? Here it is. Because God wanted to frustrate us. To say, I can't do this. I can't live this out. And so that we would go looking somewhere else for the answer. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. So the law was put in charge to, get this, lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. In other words, it doesn't tell us what to do. Something has changed on the inside. Look at the next point. That's this, and that is that the law leads us to Christ. Because you're not going to be able to do it. So I dedicate this message to anybody out there who's trying to please God, going to church, you know, trying to go to church enough, trying to pray enough, trying to get baptized, do all these things, and we're aiming at all these things, and yet we realize that every time we do, that's just, we're not a different person on the inside. I'm doing all these things, but I'm frustrated. I'm so full of this stuff that I don't even want to do it anymore. And we just, it's not working. And the point is, you did it wrong. You're supposed to do, when you're doing all these things, it's not about going to these things and these rules. It's about going to Jesus, okay? It's about getting in relationship with him. And so you need to hear this. When that happens, hear this. We're doing all the right things, and nothing seems to be working. But when we go to him in a right relationship, and we do it the right way, get this, a miracle happens on the inside of us. It's not just about doing things externally and expecting something to change on the inside. It's something that happens internally on the inside. And I want us to really get this, because as a pastor, I could spend a lot of effort trying to get you guys to train us to how to live godly and how to, you know, always putting out fires. You shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. I come up here on Sundays and say, no, don't do that, and come back next week. How'd you do this week? Not too good. All right, let me tell you again. Don't do that. And I'm going to tell you, that's not where it's at. But when you receive what Jesus did, And it's not about the rules, but you're going to the person, a miracle happens on the inside. The Bible says that if any man's in Christ, they become a new creature, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. There's something that changes on the inside. So I want you to get this. Christianity is not learned behavior. It's transformation on the inside. It's a miracle that happens on the inside. There's a transformation. There's a change that happens. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. So Christianity doesn't ask you to do right. It doesn't come to that you do right. It comes to make you right. Christianity doesn't want to do you to do anything. It wants you to be made right. And oftentimes we've accepted that version of Christianity that, well, I just got to do all these things. I don't think I could do all that. Christianity is not about that. Christianity is about becoming right through faith in Jesus Christ. So transformation on the inside with God through faith comes. And it's critical that we understand that what Christianity, this thing of grace is really all about. What Jesus did, he gave us a gift, grace, and it's a miracle. And so I'm desperate, if you could tell, for you to know, not just to know that, but to experience that. To experience it. There's a big difference. And so to explain all this, I want to give you five things in the way of an acrostic You know what an acrostic is? You take the first letter of a word. So we're going to take the first letters of the word grace, and we're just going to break this out. You have to be careful with those. One guy, he spoke at a graduation commencement, and he took, and it was at Yale, and he took four things, Yale, and he expounded on Y-A-L-E, loyal and enthusiastic, and he went through that, but he spent a long time on every point. And so after the speech, I mean, like an hour and something speech, one of the students, he asked him, said, did you enjoy that? He said, yeah, he said, that was really great. He said, I'm just glad that I didn't graduate from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, you know. So, anyway, so we're going to just break this out and go through this. Grace. Number one, grace is a free gift. There's your G, gift. You can't earn it. We used to, for us older people, some of you young people, look, we got things for you guys to be cool, but us older people, we deserve a turn too. We used to be a commercial. Some of y'all have never heard this, but it was Smith Barney, and he used to say, we do it the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Remember that? Anybody remember that commercial? Don't raise your hand because then they'll know you're old. Anyway, we'd say, we do it things the old-fashioned way. We earn it. He kind of had this rough voice. We earn it. We earn it. And sometimes that's the way we are as Christians. We just earn it. You know, you got to earn it. You got to make sure you read enough Bible. You got to do this. And you just got to earn passage rights to be in this club. But that's not the way this is. It's a free gift. Jesus came to give us a free gift. So you cannot get this on your own. Right? Cannot get this on your own. So, and it can't be that Jesus just comes, it's okay, it doesn't matter, I'll just let you off the hook. No, listen, sin had to be paid for. The gift was his life. It was his life. Jesus gave his life as to pay for your freedom. It wasn't just, it doesn't matter, you know, you're okay. No, Jesus said, no, a debt's got to be paid. And I'm going to pay it with my life. With my life. I don't know, here we are on Mother's Day, and, you know, I just look at this day thinking about parent and child relationship, and I can remember there's some times in my life I wanted to step in my son's place. I remember one time we were up at a grocery store, and there was this display, and my son tripped over my big feet and fell on a display, cut his head open, like right here, you know. And you know how it is when you go to the emergency room? You go at 9 o'clock, you're not getting out of there until 2 a.m., okay? I mean, you're just going to sit there for a while, and the hole's done dried up, just gaping open because you know, Theron was just laughing and having a good time until it's time to put the stitches in. I heard of one guy who had a similar sort of situation, and his child was brought in there, and they told the doctor, said, we're going to have to take him in. And the father said, hey, I'm going in with you. No, you're not. Yes, I am. You better make me a place. I'm going in there with you. You're not going to like it, the doctor said. And he didn't like it, not because of the blood and all, but for another reason he found out. He went in there, and his kid was laughing, and they put him in this little thing, you know, where they top their arms and legs, and he's just laughing, and the doctor put on one of those things, you know, those eyeglass things that look like Darth Vader, you know, the magnifying thing, and he was laughing, and the nurses came over, and he was laughing, and then they brought out the needle, and he wasn't laughing anymore. And the father described how he had to watch his son take that needle, and the nurses were holding his head still in their arms, and the child worked his way out from their hands and looked over to where the dad was sitting and looked at him, and he's screaming, and he looked at him like, do something, you know, like, Dad, isn't this where you swoop in and stop this? And so for like 16 stitches, this kid is screaming, Daddy, 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 help me, Daddy, help me, Daddy, help me. And with everything within this father, he's thinking, I mean, it's killing him. Because it's, you know, it's like, I mean, when we used to take our kids to the doctor, Kim would always get them to look at me. Their eyes were looking at me when they took the needle. You know, never at her. They'd always look at me, associated with me. But think about it. So this father then driving home after the kids, you know, he's sleeping, he's knocked out, he's bandaged up, but the dad's in the car, and he's like just bawling with emotion, just crying with emotion because of just seeing his son go through that. Could you imagine what our Heavenly Father felt. Not just the sacrifice of Jesus, but the Father, what He experienced. Seeing His Son go through that. And see, here's what happened. When He could have stepped in and rescued His Son, He saw your face and your face and your face. He saw us and He said, no, I'm going to let Him go through that because I love them that much. I don't understand that kind of love. It's amazing. It overwhelms me. I can't fathom the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of that kind of a love. But our God loves us that much that He stepped in and He offered it to us as a free gift. Come on, everybody. I think we need to pause right here and just thank God for the cross. Come on, thank Him for what He's done for us. Amen? Amen. Secondly, grace is received by faith. By faith. And faith is not just this faith where you believe in something like, I believe it exists, but it's a matter of trusting something. You tell me you're going to do something, it's not that I don't believe you're not standing there telling me that, but do I trust that you're going to do what you're saying you're going to do? And so, do we trust God's word? Christianity, get this, everybody. Christianity is not just a belief system. The devils even believe that Jesus exists, but I don't think that makes them Christians, last I checked, okay? Christianity is more than a belief system. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Romans 4:16 puts it this way. People receive God's promise simply this way, by having faith. By having faith. It's when you go all in and say, I believe and receive this promise of what Jesus did for me. And that, listen to this, that can only happen when we cross that line of faith. It doesn't occur when you're checking things out. And it's okay. We want to be a church where people can come and hang out and check it out and see if this connects with them. We want to be a church where everyone is welcome. But here's the fact of the matter. Bad news about that is that you'll never really experience this grace until you step across the line. You can examine it. You can study it. But you'll never understand it. You can't understand grace on this side of that line. You'll never know. You'll never experience grace. But when you step across that line, when you step in and say, okay, I believe in Jesus that He did die for me, a miracle happens on the inside of you. That's when you experience the grace and you say, oh my, I never knew. So it can't be decided on the intellectual side. You can study it for a while, but it's not until you cross that line that you can say, oh my goodness. And so you can then say, I didn't just learn about God, but now I have experienced God, right? I've experienced Him, right? I mean, you can say, I don't want to go to California. I don't like California. And then we can say, well, have you ever been to California? No, but I just don't want to go. I don't like it. Well, you don't know if you've never been. I don't like that food that you're offering me. Well, have you ever tried it? No, but I just know I won't like it. Last week, we went out to eat after church, and somebody offered me sushi. I said, I've never eaten sushi. I don't think I'm going to like that. Have you ever tried it? No. How do you do that? Now, get this. You can't just take one piece of the thing. One of the little white things with the little eel inside of it. You know what I'm talking about? They say you got to take the whole thing and put the whole thing in your mouth. Y'all are naughty. Y'all know that's what you do. I'm thinking, that's not right. I mean, I should be able to taste it and see and not, you know. And then sometimes that's the way we do with God. We just want to little taste. No, you got to put that whole sushi eel inside your mouth, and you got to deal with it, you know. But as I did, I said, that's not bad. I think this guy over here did one for the first time last week. I just love first-time experiences. Anyway, first time, me and Dwayne, man, we had sushi for the first time, and we're looking at it, that's not bad. That's pretty good. And who knew? For years, I thought, I don't want that. Let me tell you, that's the way it is with our experience with Christ. It doesn't happen on this side of the line. You can look at it from the outside in and it doesn't make sense. But when you step on the inside and say, God, I believe. I'm telling you, there's a miracle that happens on the inside and everything changes. So it happens through this thing called faith. Number three, grace is available to all. And I couldn't wait to get to this one. Grace is available to all. Look at this. I want to have a church, and I want to make clear here that we understand this. We're not going to have a church where we're casting the evil eye. Well, look at that person. Oh, my goodness. Purple hair, rings everywhere, tattoos. I can't even see their skin from tattoos. Can I tell you something? That's who we want. I heard of somebody going up to a pastor the other day and said, Pastor, I looked outside and I saw this guy outside smoking on church property. And he looked at her just to kind of shock her, and he said, that's awesome. Well, that pastor, that's not respectful. Well, that may be, but here's what I know. I want people to come so we have an opportunity to tell them about the grace and the love of Jesus Christ and let God begin to do a work and a change inside of them, right? Come on, everybody. We're not going to be a church that casts an evil eye, right? Listen, let us never create a place where we think, get this, all right? You may not like this church after this, but this is the kind of church this is. This is a church that exists, not for church people. This is a church that exists for anyone who wants to come, right? And so you're welcome in whatever condition, whatever you're going through, whatever you believe, you're welcome. Cigarettes and all, okay? All right, now I'm not asking you to smoke on the property, all right? Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, look, this is about reaching people. That's what Jesus did. He accepted everyone. There was a woman caught in adultery, right? We know the story. And he said, where are those that condemn you? And he said, neither do I condemn you. But then he said, go leave your life of sin now. And so here she was in this condition. And he said, I don't condemn you. But look at this. He loved her enough not to leave her that way too. I heard the story of a pastor. A guy came up to him in his church, and he was living a gay lifestyle. And he asked the question, am I welcome at this church? And he said, absolutely. You are very, very welcome here. And the guy responded and he said, well, that's good. He said, because I was born this way. And the pastor, wanting to teach him something, he said, yeah. He said, I was born that way too. And he said, what? He said, yeah. He said, I was born full of greed, full of lust. I'm a liar. I mean, I was naturally good at it. And the guy said, well, I've never heard this before. And he said, oh, yeah. And he said, but thank God I found a place where I could come as a liar, as a greedy person, as a lustful person, someone that was dealing with all these things. And because I was accepted, it allowed me to allow the work of Jesus to come and begin to work on the inside of me and change me. You getting that? You getting that? I'm not saying we're embracing sin, but we're embracing people, that we might lead them to a God who begins to do a work inside of them and begins to change us. And we've got to hear this. The gospel is this. Everybody come, and let Jesus begin to do a work inside of us. Not just, oh, I just want to come and hang out and stay the way I am. No, that's not what I'm saying. Come. And then let Jesus begin to do a work inside of us. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? Not just, I just want to call on the name of the Lord and No, everyone comes to the standard, right? Everyone comes to the standard God has set in His Word. And that's not mine, that's His Word. And we come to what He says and say, Lord, here I am, here's how I was born, here's what I'm dealing with, do your work inside of me and change me. I call on your name. My friends, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Everybody cool? All right. And so we just need to make sure that this is not a place we're going to cast an evil eye on people. But I don't want the church to be filled with so-and-so and so-and-so. And listen, let the church be filled with that. Amen? Let the church be filled so that, listen, I want that so that I can get the chance to lead them to the only one who can change their life. Can I get a good amen right there? Amen. Amen. And so the grace, it's a gift. because of what Jesus did on the cross. No one like Jesus, what he did for us. And we receive him by faith, and it's available to all. And look at this, grace comes only through Christ. Only through Christ. And I hate the way that the church, the things are changing in our society. Churches are changing. They're singing songs that don't even have the word Jesus in it because they want to be all-inclusive. But can I tell you, Jesus is the only one that can change your life. Let me be very clear with that. He's the only one that can get you to heaven through the person of Jesus Christ. And here's why. And you say, well, that's narrow. That's narrow. Yes. But because Jesus is the only person who dealt with the problem and that sin. Get this. None of the other guys paid for your sins. They just tell you what you should do and the nice moral things you should do and how you live your life. Stuff to do. But Jesus came and said, I see the problem. And I'll even live this sinless life that will qualify me to be a sin payer. And I'll step in and I'll take care of your sin for you. He's the only one that dealt with the sin issue. And that's why. John chapter 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, through grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:15 says this, many people have received God's gift of life by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple more, write them down, that are not in your notes. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, say it everybody, except through me. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in, everybody say it, no one else. Come on, help me. No one else. Say it. No one else, right? For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So grace is a gift. No one else died for you. And so Jesus died for you that you could live this life. And you can't discover that on the outside. You got to cross that line of faith, and then when you do, there it is. It's for everyone, and it's only through Jesus. Galatians 2:21 says, don't treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there was no need for Christ to die. Point number 5, grace is extended throughout eternity. When Jesus paid for your sins, he took care of your past, your present, and your future. Of your life, he took care of that for you. I want you to see this. It's all covered. All right, and don't read so much into that theologically. Just think of it very simply, and that's this: that you're in a life where you cannot live this thing out. But no matter where you've been or where you are or what tomorrow holds for you, Jesus' grace is available for you. That's good news. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And it's not just heaven we're talking about. This gift extends through your yesterday, your today, and your tomorrow. And here's the result. You say, well, there's a lot of grace talk here, guys. Is it, Pastor? You know, new to this church, whatever, you know, what does this mean? Sounds like I can live any way I want to. No. Let me be clear. Grace doesn't let you off the hook. Here's what it does. It changes your motivation for what you do. Grace, it doesn't just say, I'm going to live the way I want to live. Paul addressed that in Romans. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we sin so that grace much more abounds? He said, no, God forbid. So here's what I'm trying to say. We don't change by our own efforts. We've got to realize what Jesus did. We've got to realize all 5 of these beautiful truths. And when we do, a miracle takes place on the inside. Let me give you one more verse, and then we're going to close. And then I'm going to pick this message up next week. And a message I believe that has the power to change your life you don't want to miss next week. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God, that's what we're talking about today. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It, what's it talking about? It's talking about the grace of God, not works, the grace of God. Look at what it does. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. That's what it does for us. fact, there's another definition of grace, and that's God's enabling power. Not just unmerited favor, it's his enabling power. Teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. There's something on the inside of us. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Let me give you this final thing to write down. Grace is this. There's the definition. When what you ought to do becomes what you want to do. This is the grace of God, and I want every one of us to have it. Write that down, and if you would, just bow your heads with me in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your cross. Thank you, Lord, that we could come and accept what you did by faith, and it's available to all. And it's extended to us that our life can change forever. My heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. You may be here and you may be saying, I have tried this thing over and over again and it never seems to work. And you know it's not working in your life when you feel shame and guilt and you feel like you're not ever good enough. And you're realizing today that you need to receive God's grace. This is really what salvation is. It's surrender. It's surrender. It's nothing that we can do of ourselves. It's simply letting faith come and then grace come and transform us through faith in what Jesus did. And so I'd like to lead you today, if that's you and you say, I need to receive this gift of grace in my life, I'd like to lead you in a prayer right where you're sitting. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I'm simply going to lead you right where you are, where heads are bowed. In this simple prayer. But if that's you today and say, Pastor, I need to receive this grace, would you just slip up your hand? And I'd just like to know, when by your slipping up your hand, you're saying, Pastor, when you pray, would you count me in that prayer? My heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If that's you, you say, Pastor, when you pray, would you include me in that prayer? Come on, just slip up a hand and you can put it right back down. God bless you today. Yes. Yes, God bless you. I'm proud of you. Good job. Good job. Anyone else? Let me just lead you in this prayer. From your heart to the Lord, make it your prayer. I'm just going to help you with the words. Come on, just pray this. Say, Jesus, thank you for grace. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for taking my place. By faith, I accept what you did for me. I'm asking you to come inside of me and change me. I surrender my life to you, God. I give you my life. I turn from my way, turn from my efforts, and I simply receive your forgiveness. I turn from my way to follow you. And right now, by faith, I accept you in my life. Jesus, come on, say it this way, be the Lord of my life. Come on, say this with me. Say this to the Lord. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. God, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer. Thank you, Lord, that now, God, we, by faith, step across that line. Now, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come, change us on the inside, day by day, step by step. Give us the wisdom and the guidance and enabling of your power, of your spirit. Lord, that now, God, those things that better way that you would desire us to live, God, no longer becomes I got to, it's a get to, Lord. Thank you for now making it a delight and a joy through your Holy Spirit. God, we give you all the praise for what you're doing, Lord, in us. Make us a church, God, that preaches the true gospel of your great love and your transforming power. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, did you get anything out of that this morning? Did you get anything out of God's word? Come on, let's praise God today. Thank God for changed lives.